Hello, and welcome to our program, Reader's Digest, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio. I'm John Fisher, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest here on Owl Radio. Here's a collection of heart-thumping, tail-wagging, zoomies-inducing pet reunion tales. Lost, Found, Homeward Bound in Reader's Digest. The first in our collection, a hiker saves a lost dog and a widower from added grief. Kathy Free of the Washington Post writes, Riley's Mountain Rescue. Zach Hackett was 12,000 feet up a Colorado mountain last May when he thought he heard a faint yip. As he walked through a clearing, Hackett, 33 years old, found the source, a black-and-white Shetland sheepdog shivering behind fallen pine trees. I was a little startled because dogs shouldn't be up there so high, says Hackett, who had been hiking all day in Breckenridge. Hey, buddy, he called out, you want a cookie? Can you come with me? The dog was too weak to move. Spring temperatures dipped below freezing at night, and the dog looked near death. I believe what I'd heard was his last cry for help, and that if I hadn't come along, he would have died there, Hackett says. 5 weeks earlier, Mike Krugman, 74 years old, had let his dog Riley out for a pre-dinner walk on his nearby 36-acre property. I got his kibble ready, and when he didn't come back, I didn't worry at first, Krugman says. When Krugman went to the barn and couldn't find his dog, he became concerned and rode around the property on his all-terrain vehicle. I thought, maybe Riley has gone looking for Pam, says Krugman. His wife Pam Krugman had died of a heart condition months earlier. When Pam passed away, he hid behind the bed for several days, Krugman says. You could tell he really missed her. The next morning, Krugman looked for the Sheltie's tracks in the snow and asked a local animal shelter to help search. A volunteer posted missing posters and scoured the area for Riley, but no one found him. Weeks passed, but Krugman couldn't give up hope. I left his food bowl out for him, Krugman says. He even left out his wife's housecoat, thinking her scent might bring Riley back. Hackett had lived in Breckenridge for only a few months when he decided to go hiking last spring. He was on his way down when he spotted the ailing lost dog. He wrapped Riley up in a windbreaker and cradled him like a baby. Hackett carefully picked his way down rough terrain for 2 hours before reaching the Blue River around dusk. He carried Riley through the knee-deep water. The current was strong, but I felt I had to cross the river instead of walk around it, or it would have taken too long, and Riley needed to be warmed up, he says, noting that he slowly waded across, clutching the dog. When he reached his apartment, he ran a warm bath for Riley and turned on a heater. We gave him small amounts of water, and I made him some scrambled eggs, Hackett says. Hackett cared for Riley through the night, then drove him to a nearby shelter in the morning. People at the shelter were shocked when they checked the records and learned that Riley had been gone for 5 weeks and 1 day, he says. In that moment, Hackett realized why Riley was so weak when he found him. I started bawling when they told me that, he says. Riley weighed 24 pounds when he went missing and had lost half his body weight. I got this call from the shelter, and they said a good Samaritan had brought Riley in, Krugman recalls. Of course, I cried. I'm not a real spiritual person, but somebody had to have been looking out for that dog. Maybe my wife. Krugman picked up Riley and drove him straight to a veterinarian. 3 days later, Hackett stopped by Krugman's to see how Riley was doing. I'm just so thankful for what he did and for the efforts of all the people who searched for Riley, Krugman says. He is now the proud owner of a GPS tracking collar. Next, rodeo goat goes on the lam. Willie escaped her pen at the rodeo in Willacy County, Texas. As sightings went viral on social media, her reward grew, about $5,000 in donated hay bales, jerky, and other provisions from residents and businesses. After 2 weeks, Ricardo Rojas III and Sammy Abris found Willie with her horns stuck in a fence on Rojas's family farm and returned her. Next, neighbors save a cold snake and solve a cold case. Here's Snow's Dance with Death, again by Kathy Free of the Washington Post, in Reader's Digest. Patrick Fortune was walking his dog in his Austin, Texas neighborhood in December 2022 when he spotted something long and yellow down a ravine 30 feet below. He remembered that someone had posted on Nextdoor months back that a 16-foot albino python, Snow, had been taken from her owner's vehicle in her travel tote. Could this be the missing snake? "She is a gentle giant," the poster, Daryl Fields, wrote. "I'm sure whoever broke in my vehicle freaked out realizing it was a snake inside. Please give me a call if you hear or see anything." When Fortune, 34 years old, realized on that December day that he found the missing python, he took his dog home and told his girlfriend, Raven Zimmer, 33 years old. He wasn't sure if the snake was alive or dead, he says, but if she was alive, they would rescue her. Zimmer was on board. "I know that pythons were tropical. They like to be warm," Fortune says, noting that it had been cold in Austin for weeks and that it was a chilly 45 degrees when he spotted Snow. Fortune and Zimmer warmed up a heating pad, grabbed a few towels, and loaded their large dog crate into their truck. A neighbor called animal control, but the person he spoke with said it would take a couple of hours to get an officer to the area. Fortune figured that if the snake was still alive, they didn't have the luxury of time. "The snake looked dead to us, but Raven reached out and touched it, and we were surprised when it moved," he says. "I thought, oh, that's different. Now what do we do?" He texted several people he knew in the neighborhood, hoping someone would help. When Dylan Doherty, 29 years old, got word, he rushed over from his parents' house across the street from the ravine. "I like the strange and unusual, so I was all in," Doherty says. The trio decided that Fortune would firmly hold the snake behind the head, while Zimmer and Doherty picked up her body and scooted it into the carrier. "The snake didn't seem to like that," Fortune says. "It reared up and opened its mouth, and it gave me a don't mess with me look." Although Snow was 75 pounds, 10 inches around, and hissing, they weren't afraid of getting bitten or constricted because the snake was moving slowly in the cold. "We were genuinely worried about the snake. It could freeze to death in the cold," Fortune says. "We tried picking her up again, and she became lethargic and didn't fight us this time. She was ice cold. It was like picking up a cold, slimy rock," Doherty adds. He and Zimmer tucked the heating pad and blanket around the snake in the carrier. Then all three of them pushed the heavy crate up the embankment. They took the python to Doherty's house because he lived the closest. "We took the snake inside, and I got some wood, and Patrick started a fire," Doherty says. "I also started up a space heater." He had an infrared digital thermometer, which he held to the snake's head every few minutes. "The first time, it read 53 degrees, he says. Raven was Googling for information about pythons and learned the temperature was supposed to be in the 70s, so we were relieved when it started going up. About 90 minutes into their herpetology urgent care experiment, the doorbell rang. An animal control officer was there to pick up the snake. When the officer walked into the living room holding a small cat carrier, everyone burst into laughter. The officer took one look and said, "Oh, that's a big snake," Fortune says. Snow had probably survived for nearly 6 months in the ravine by eating mice and rabbits and the occasional possum, the officer said. She was transported to the Austin Zoo while other animal control officers tracked down Snow's owner. Fields drove to Austin a few days later to pick up his pet, posting on Facebook that he was, quote-unquote, so glad to have my baby back. Fortune says he hopes Snow is warm and happy now that she's home. I'm not a snake person, he adds, but I'm really glad she made it. Here's Horse Answers Call of Wild hangs up. Shane Adams spent countless weekends searching Utah's West Desert for his riding horse, Mongo, who went chasing after a herd of Mustangs during a 2014 camping trip and never came back. 8 years later, the Bureau of Land Management noticed one of the wild horses they just rounded up was unusually big. A brand on his shoulder revealed that he was Mongo. Adams reclaimed his horse right away, and in no time had a grateful Mongo eating his still-beloved Sour Patch Kids candies out of his hand. Missing cat, quote-unquote, haunts Las Vegas hotel room. A series of strange happenings convinced Lindsay Sanders that she and her husband had a ghostly visitor in their Las Vegas hotel room. After 3 days of knocking over pill bottles and making messes while managing to stay hidden, the specter revealed itself. Tiger, a stowaway tabby who'd been reported missing by the previous guest. Coincidentally, Sanders was a veterinarian in town for a conference. And another brief, bird named Billy Joel goes for a spin on Big Wheel. Gavin Sire had climbed 100 feet up the Myrtle Beach Sky Wheel for a safety check when he saw a gray bird. The cockatiel hitched a ride down in his pocket. Staffers saw flyers for a missing cockatiel named Billy Joel and knew they'd found him when the bird bopped along to his namesake. From Bill Hangley Jr., a Good Samaritan realizes this cat is far from astray and far from home. Here's Tucker's Cross-Country Crisis in Reader's Digest. Holly Lillard went outside just to wash the windows. She didn't go out that day to help save a pet or a person. But that's what happened when she found a lost cat named Tucker and closed a 600-mile gap to return him to his owner, Jamie McCall. Tucker's adventure began in early November 2022 when McCall, 64 years old, Tucker's adventure began in early November 2022 when McCall, 64 years old, spent the night in a hotel in the tiny town of Cleveland, Tennessee. The retired electrician was driving from Florida to Michigan to visit a sick relative. Her budget was tight, and her head was full of questions. In the previous 2 years, McCall had lost her husband to cancer and their 21-year-old grandson to violence. And a workplace accident had left McCall partially disabled and unable to work. I'm still looking for a place in the world, says McCall. I was married for almost 43 years. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be. But even as everything changed around her, the future held one certainty. She'd have her two cats, Tucker and the 20-pounder she calls Fat Cat. The companionship and the routine of having to care for the animals were a lifeline when all else was upended. Honestly, after all the deaths, I was ready to give up, says McCall. If it hadn't been for those two cats, I don't think I would have made it. McCall planned to spend the night in Cleveland and then drive on. But Tucker had other ideas. When McCall returned from breakfast the next morning, ready to pack up and hit the road again, the big black and white cat was gone from her hotel room. Frantic, she searched along the busy road for hours, hoping Tucker hadn't been hit by a car. But he was nowhere to be found. As dusk fell, McCall realized she had to go. She couldn't afford to stay around another night. Heartbroken, she got in her car and got back on the interstate. I'd just been through all this tragedy, and now I lost Tucker, she recalls. We drove off with Fat Cat crying all the way, going, where's my brother? I thought he was gone forever. Little did McCall know, the good people of Cleveland were about to come through. The next day, Lillard, 27 years old, went to wash the back windows of her CBD dispensary shop just down the road from the hotel where McCall had stayed. The moment she spotted Tucker by the dumpster, she knew he wasn't one of the usual strays. He trotted straight to her and looked well-fed. "He was clearly not a stray cat," says Lillard. "He's a big lug." Lillard took Tucker home, certain he was someone's missing friend, and posted his story in a lost pet Facebook group. McCall, too, had been posting about Tucker. Within hours, someone made the connection, and soon McCall was on the phone with Lillard, hearing Tucker's yowls and sobbing with relief. "It was his voice. He's very vocal," says McCall. "I knew right away, that's my cat." McCall's luck was changing. Lillard's grandfather was planning a trip to Michigan, and Lillard was happy to shelter Tucker until the cat could hitch a ride with him. 1 month later, Tucker was hand-delivered to McCall's doorstep, just in time for Christmas. Today, Tucker, Fat Cat, and McCall are back in Florida together. McCall still isn't sure what her future holds, but she knows it will include her old friends, Tucker and Fat Cat, and her new friend, Lillard. "They brought my cat right to my front door, and they didn't ask for a dime. Can you believe that? I don't have to say another word," says McCall. Here are two more pet reunion stories from Reader's Digest United Kingdom edition. From Samantha Rideout, here's Spooky the Stowaway. Like many other families in the summer of 2020, Shalice Marchand and her school-aged daughters, Shay and Allie, spent their days at home. Shalice's driver's license had been suspended after she suffered a seizure, so regardless of the pandemic, they wouldn't have been able to venture far from their home in the small town of Redvers, Saskatchewan. One of their pets, however, wasn't tied down by the circumstances and managed to take an international journey. Spooky, one of the family's black cats, has an independent personality. He and his brother, Licorice, had joined the family as kittens in the year 2013. The cats lived indoors during the frigid Saskatchewan winters. But the moment spring hit, they loved going outside, Shalice says. Initially, Shalice wasn't terribly concerned when Spooky didn't return from an evening jaunt on July 22nd. "I thought he would turn up in one of our sheds," she recalls. "That said, we do live close to the highway, so I was a bit nervous that maybe he'd been hit by a vehicle." As it turned out, Spooky had climbed into the engine bay of a parked, articulated freight truck. When the truck departed, Spooky became a stowaway. Somehow, he remained unharmed in that cramped space full of wires and hoses while the vehicle drove 143 miles southwest to Tioga, North Dakota, then northeast to Manitoba, then back down to North Dakota again. The following night, July 23rd, the truck's driver opened the bonnet to perform a routine maintenance check. A pair of glowing eyes stared up, startling him. His unexpected passenger was wearing a rabies vaccination tag that listed the phone number for a veterinary practice in Redvers, Saskatchewan, called Head for the Hills. Meanwhile, there were lots of tears in Shalice's home. "My daughters were freaking out," she says. "Spooky meant the world to us." He had been missing for about 24 hours when the kids went to bed on July 23rd. It was late that evening when Shalice received a call from Spooky's vet, who told her the missing cat had been found in North Dakota by a trucker named Jack Shaw. The vet gave Shalice Jack's phone number. She called him immediately. "He sounded flustered," she recalls. "He's an awesome guy, but he's not a cat person, and he didn't know what to do with the animal." Fortunately, Jack's route would take him back through Redvers the next day. To keep Spooky safe and calm on the trip back home, Jack placed him inside a box with a small opening for airflow. On July 24th, a friend gave Shalice, Shay, and Allie a lift to the local co-op where Jack had agreed to meet them. As the truck pulled up, my girls were beaming, Shalice says. As for me, I just wanted to hug him. Besides feeling grateful for a stranger's kindness, Shalice was amused that Spooky had crossed the American border at a time when it was closed to everyone except essential traffic. And the fact that he held out for so long under the truck is unbelievable, she adds. As an artist, Shalice had a collection of her own original artworks, so she gave Jack a print of her old red truck as a symbol of her gratitude to him. Upon returning home, Spooky was a little skittish at first, but soon his usual temperament resurfaced. Nowadays, Spooky and Licorice don't tend to wander far from home. I don't know if Spooky learned from his experience, or if it's because the cats are getting old, she says. They stay close to the deck and take in the prairie sunset. Our final story is A Long-Awaited Reunion by Praveena Somasundaram of the Washington Post in Reader's Digest. When Richard and Maria Price got a call from an unknown number with a New York area code in December 2022, the couple, who were living in Spain, figured it was a spam call. But when the same number phoned again, they answered. "Did you used to own a black and white cat?" the caller asked. They had. A fluffy, skittish, bicolor cat named Mimi. But they hadn't seen her in a decade. Mimi went missing in the year 2012, 2 years after the Price family, who were then living in East Sawtucket, New York, adopted her. They spent more than a year searching around the state, but to no avail. In 2021, the couple moved to Valencia, Spain, after Richard retired. But on December 5th, 2022, someone from Miller Place, New York, where Mimi had gone missing 10 years earlier, brought her to the Brookhaven Animal Shelter and Adoption Center. Workers there found that the cat had a microchip that identified her owners. They called the Price family that day at the New York phone number, which luckily was still in use. Richard told the Washington Post that the reunion was, quote-unquote, a rare Christmas miracle. Mimi first caught Richard's eye in 2010 at a Long Island adoption center. A 2-year-old black cat with a bib of white fur beneath her chin, Richard said she was, quote-unquote, beautiful beyond compare. Before officially adopting Mimi and bringing her to their home, Richard visited her at the center a few times. Previously a feral cat, she was shy, hiding until Richard would sit on the floor and place his hand near her hiding spot. Then he'd wait until she came out and allowed him to pet her. You could see she wanted people. She was just scared about it all, Richard says. It won my heart over. In 2012, the Prices left Mimi with a family member in nearby Miller Place while they were on holiday. When they came back, she was gone. The family member opened the door to leave, and Mimi zipped between their feet and fled into the bushes outside. Distraught, Richard launched a search, posting flyers around Miller Place and neighboring areas. He visited animal shelters and feral cat colonies behind supermarkets. After more than a year, he'd given up hope that they'd never see Mimi again. But a decade later, after the fateful call from the shelter, they were to be reunited. As word got out in Miller Place, Richard started getting calls from people in the community who had cared for her over the years. Julia Ray, 24 years old, and her father Lawrence were among them. living a vagabond life, Mimi would pop up on an outdoor chair in their gazebo, or snuggle up in the heated home they set up for her during the winter, Julia said. They saw that Mimi's ear had been tipped, referring to a mark on a feral cat's ear that signifies they have been spayed or neutered, but vets told them they believed she had no owner. Through severe storms and bitter winters, the cat, whom they called Kitty, returned. Even after Julia left for college, her father kept feeding the cat until he died in April 2022. His house was sold later that year. "I considered selling the house with the condition that you'd be good to the cat and feed it," Julia says. But luckily, she didn't have to. Mimi found someone else to look after her. Gary Giuseppone. One day, Gary noticed that Mimi's fur was matted. Worried she'd get caught in bushes or tree branches, he brought her to the Brookhaven Animal Shelter. Later that day, he was thrilled to hear that the shelter had found Mimi's owners. In January 2023, Richard headed back to the United States to pick her up, and she stayed with his sister and niece until he could get there. She was, quote-unquote, an angel during the flight back to Spain, he says, sitting quietly in her carrying case and occasionally glancing at him for reassurance. And let's conclude this edition of Reader's Digest with some glad to hear it. Three stories to make your day. Warming waters and pollution have reduced Florida's coral reefs by 90%. One scientist has a partial solution. King crabs. Sewage and farm runoff help produce seaweed, also known as macroalgae, which smothers and crowds out reefs and blocks the sunshine that baby corals need to grow. Enter the crabs. They feast on seaweed. Marine ecologist Jason Spadaro is hoping to breed 250,000 Caribbean king crabs each year in his Florida Keys lab, then release them to dine away. According to Vox, studies show that reefs with healthy crab populations saw 85% less algae, a higher density of young corals, and more fish than other reefs. Scientists, says Spadaro, have figured out how to grow corals to replace reefs. Now we need to help them survive. Students at Glen Lake Elementary School in Minnetonka, Minnesota, loved their playground. But kids in wheelchairs or with special needs often felt excluded because the equipment wasn't accessible to them. So students mobilized to raise the money needed to make the playground inclusive. It didn't seem fair that some kids were left out, fifth grader Wyatt Fucht said. The youngsters held bake sales, went door to door, and got businesses to donate. Eventually, they raised $300,000, enough to add a wheelchair swing, a wheelchair-accessible merry-go-round, and a rubber surface. Now everyone enjoys recess, and that's a good thing, Reese Riley, another student, told CBS News. After all, quote-unquote, recess is about having fun. Geraldine Giblet played the Florida Lottery regularly, but luck seemed to evade her. Her fortunes turned worse when her daughter, Laurencina Jackson, was diagnosed with breast cancer. Giblet emptied her savings to pay for the treatment. Then last April, the day after Jackson's final successful treatment, Giblet bought a $10 lottery ticket and won big. $2 million big. I was like, are you sure? Giblet, 74 years old, told Good Morning America. Giblet's action meant so much to me, Jackson said. I don't see where I can repay it. I'll just have to keep loving her. Maybe that'll help. And before we go, how about a quick chuckle from life in these United States? From Carla Kutstra of Layton, California. As I lugged a ladder through the house, I told my husband, I'm going to get some heavy boxes off that top shelf in our closet. Maybe you should come along. They are pretty high up, and I could fall. My beloved jumped up from his recliner and said, Okay, yeah, let me grab my camera. You have been listening to Reader's Digest on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program is replayed after 9 o'clock in the evening. This is John Fisher saying goodbye from Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio.